Lord, you've been the father of our fathers. Men who were of like passion as we, had many problems and failures. Men and women who tried to serve you and love you, didn't get it all right, Lord. Here we are tonight, we stand on their shoulders. We think of the Methodist people who built this building and all their songs, Lord, in the hymn book we have tonight. The Charles and John Wesley's, Lord, and all the stories. Oh, God, here we are tonight, just for a short time. Lord, 15 minutes in the sun, and then we're going to move over. And some of us are getting white around the gills, Lord. And we desperately need, Lord, young men and women, Lord, who will come behind us. And, Lord, thank you for the age. And that we, as older ones, can still be, Lord, a part of, Lord, to seize opportunities to just do your work here and to deacon, Lord, as we heard. Thus, Brother Paul, fill him with your Holy Spirit. Give him wisdom, guidance. Open his mouth, his mind, his heart, and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Greet you in the name of Christ. It's a blessing to be together again, looking at the wonderful word of life, the wonderful truth of God. This has been a wonderful, wonderful moment, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How else would we describe this these days? And oh, for the time when we're going to be in our eternal home forever to sit there and talk about our God and worship our God and focus. I know, and I thank Brother Nathan for praying. I find it difficult to preach before I pray, so I would like to pray again. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, our great God, eternal, everlasting Father, in your everlasting power, we ask that you would come now and that you would manifest yourself to the small ones, the little ones. Lord Jesus, the weak ones, the ones that are without strength in our own way. We are encased with this earthly vessel, Lord Jesus, and yet we have a wonderful treasure. We want to talk about the treasure tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help, that in our hearts somewhere, the greatest treasure we possess is you. And Lord, we know that where the treasure is, there will the heart be. And I pray, O God, put our heart in with our treasure tonight and allow us, O God, to know something more of your word. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for these dear brothers and those that have come from far and have left their work and left their homes and left their wives and their dear children and their flock, the beautiful flock, to come and be refreshed. Oh God, would you refresh us tonight? And Lord Jesus, as we have needs in our own hearts, I pray, oh God, tonight that you would meet those needs. We are not the ones that can, we are not here to convict anyone. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we are here only, Lord Jesus, to look at truth and to understand truth and to apply it to our lives and to wash our hearts, wash our lives, and sanctify us through the word of thy truth, for thy word is truth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight for this opportunity. Now I ask, O God, we are here on the planet where we read that Satan was cast. He was thrown out onto the earth. And Lord Jesus, tonight I pray in Jesus' name that you would bind every wicked spirit and every demon and devil in Jesus' name. And that you would let your Holy Spirit be here and just speak to us. Allow us, O God, to hear something that would help and edify and help us on our journey. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the wonderful cross that you hung and bled and died and then resurrected for us and now has imparted life to us, resurrection power. Lord, tonight I give myself to you. I consecrate my life to you. Lord Jesus, I have no interest to be seen tonight. Help these brethren to forget me, but do not forget the Word of God. And I pray, O Lord Jesus, that You would just speak as You have to me in these days gone by, Lord. I pray that You would now allow me to unburden the burden of God upon my heart. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Again, a greeting in the name of Christ, our wonderful Savior, wonderful Lord. I would like to preach to you a message this evening that God has been laying on my heart and has laid on my heart for some time. Let me say this. In the last 2 weeks, two and a half weeks, I've heard from three ministers that spoke to me, and they said this. They are not sure that our church is going to survive. They're not sure that it's going to make it. You know, in my short 70 years, I have seen tremendous movements of God. When I was a teenager, and we were in just coming out of the old order setting, and we went through a lot of persecution and pushback for our direction that we were taking. And in those years, God was so real and God was so close. Church life was tremendous. It was a tremendous church life. And I saw the Spirit of God working. I saw even in that old order setting, or it was now new order, but in that setting I saw people sitting there in services weeping as the Word of God was preached. It was a beautiful time. And on through those times, and when we came to the Mennonite church and we saw the beauty of God in the Church of Jesus Christ. It was the most beautiful time of my short life. And I saw people walk the aisles weeping and crying. I saw revivals where people couldn't get through the door fast enough to go down and make their things right with God and thank God. And you know, today as we enter into the era, what I believe is the end times, we are here this evening as those shepherds that are here to pastor, to feed, and to lead our people. And there is great tragedy among the churches of Jesus Christ today. Just like these three brethren that were telling me are not sure that we're going to make it. And yet I know what Jesus said. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But somehow if the gates of hell are prevailing against the church, and the Church of Jesus Christ is not alive and on fire, and doesn't have the passion for God, we're doing something wrong. Because God will build His church. And if we get in line with God, God will build the church in our community. The church that we're a part of, I believe. And so, in the interest on our hearts and on my own heart, that there would be a tremendous coming back to God among our Anabaptist people. And it's been my heart for some years. And my friends, we must do something different if we want a different effect. And I wondered, and I've been crying out to God, and so have you. I know I'm not the only one. We've been crying out to God, where is the answer for our people? Where is the answer? I long for that holy wave of God again. The wave of holiness where people repent. They just come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit has such a freedom. Where people I remember one time sitting in a church where the message was not about being born again, and before the service was over, a young man walked out there on the gravel. Another brother went out, and he was a stranger to us. He was not from our congregation. And there on the gravel, he repented and gave his heart to the Lord. We never even had a message on the new birth. But when we come into the presence of God, and my friends, I know that you long for this, we need the presence of God in our church. And every Sunday morning, I'm not so concerned about who comes from our congregation even. that I am, that every Sunday there's a presence of the Holy One there. Because then we can have life and we can find life. As I look at this, I thought of this is not my text, but I want to get to that. I'm in the introductory part here this evening. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, be watchful. Watch. Tonight we want to watch. We want to look at something. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I may come. I want to, in my interest, that God would show us a way. You know, sometimes I think of that scripture in Ezra, where Ezra coming fresh out of Babylon, bondage, and he was looking for a way. How? A way for me and my children. I think that should be the heart of every pastor here. We should look for a way. How can we bring our people into that deep fellowship, walk with God, where there is a close, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ all the time as we go. In my quest and in my... Let me say this. I believe, and I'm speaking to leaders here that I know that there are leaders here that are just spending time with the Lord. I was so blessed. One of you, I don't know if you were here tonight, who told me that I am just here. We're going through a struggle in our congregation. I'm just here to just seek God. That's all I'm looking for. Just seeking God. And I believe every shepherd that has a struggling body at home, a flock that is anemic, a flock that is sick, is going to spend time. They're going to spend time with God. They're going to close the cereal box. They're going to keep the refrigerator closed until they find the answer from God. For how do I lead? How do I help? Well, let me now tell you. I want to share with you tonight a message that maybe I'm just praying. I've really been praying that God would help, that you could understand my heart tonight, the heart that I believe God spoke to me about. My Garden of Eden. You know, sometimes when there are issues and struggles and problems, you know, we're looking for the button to push. We're looking for the verse that will set us free. We're looking for that something. We're laying at the pool of Bethesda and we're waiting until the moving of the water to somehow be touched by God to change us and our people. We're looking for that. Let me say this. Maybe we have to go back. Have to go back. Go back and find out what is really... You know, I believe tonight it's not those new ways that are actually what is hindering the church. It's not the new temptations. It's maybe something fairly old. I'm going to take you to the second and third chapter of Genesis, and there we will find what I believe is the answer to the demise of the Christian church today. Maybe you will disagree with me, but God bless you. I'll just share my heart. And if you can love that and appreciate that, I would appreciate it. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to look at two trees tonight. God had such great anticipation for His two most precious creation that He created, Adam and Eve. He had great anticipation for them. They were special. They looked like Him. They thought like Him. They loved like Him. They were so like Him. And He stood, Adam stood there. And God was speaking to him. And I want to show you what God said. And I would like to suggest and tell you tonight, I think we need to go back to find the answer to the dilemma that we find ourselves in today. We're missing something. When the church in Sardis was dying, had a name, it was alive, but actually was dead. And you know, as I look at our church, and I think about our people at home, I am very, very concerned that we stay alive, that we have passion, that God is with us, and God stays with us, and that I never do anything. And brothers, let me tell you, every decision we make in our church, we need to always add an extra question to it. If we do this, is God still going to be with us? Is His presence still going to be with us? Well, let's look at this scene here. Follow this here. This in Genesis chapter 2, I'd like to begin in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou mayest not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh thereof, instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and the woman, and were not ashamed. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God calling in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman which whom thou gavest to me with to be with me, she gave me of the fruit of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent them forth from the garden of Eden, to till the garden from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed on the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. We are now in 2022, but we're now going back, finding the answer, what is wrong today. Finding the answer, what is wrong. Let's go back and see what went wrong. And let's see if maybe what went wrong back there is what is wrong today. Because we need an answer. We cannot fix a problem unless we have an answer. And the answer must come from our God. God, would you have an answer for us? And that's what I trust the Holy Spirit will help us to understand. So there, here's what God said. When you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot live forever. Oh, but I want our church people and I want every brother here to live forever. But God said if you eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you cannot live forever. And look at Adam and Eve. I could see them go. Can you think with me how that was? They were in the beautiful garden, probably the nicest garden that man could ever see. And they were in there. And then because they ate from this tree, they started walking out. And there they go. They're going out there, the only two people on the planet, the only two people in the world, were walking away from the garden of God, the garden of Eden, the beautiful garden. Because God said, if you eat from this tree, you will die. Isn't that what He said? And so you cannot live eternally. We need to guard the tree of life. We need to guard eternal life. We need to guard this life that you and I all want. And we want for every one of our children and all of our people. And so there they go. And as they walked out, I could see Adam and Eve, there they go, feeling so sad, maybe looking back. And as they looked back, they saw this cherubim, and they saw a flaming fire, a big sword that was cutting the path, and there was no way they would try to go back in. And that's how man left. Is God. Maybe this will help us to understand some things. Now we don't know for sure what that was. But there was a great dilemma that happened to the people that God created. Eve looked up there. And then as she was looking up, and she was looking at this beautiful thing, and then comes something, and it starts talking. I remember there's something about a snake that I never want any conversation with it. I don't know about you. But I remember when my mother used to call me, Paul, Paul, come quick. I knew when I heard that, I knew what was going on. Bring the shovel. And you know, there was that thing, a snake. And you know, where is it? In the grass, over there. And you know, that first look was just capturing. I just hated that first look. Once I saw it first, then I was after it. But you know, here was one of those that God had just created. And here this snake. Think about it. This serpent. Satan spoke through the snake. And my friends, that snake is still speaking. Think about it. God did not give Adam and Eve, but He only spoke to Adam about this. Let's look at it. What did God say? Verse 16, And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Something is going to die if you eat from that tree. Something is going to die. And oh, there they were. And you know what? Here, Eve walks over, looks at this beautiful tree, and she knew, because Adam had told her, apparently, according to the Word, that you shall not eat from that tree, that fruit. But you know what she did? It was so nice, and it looked so pleasing. You know, the snake said, Oh, it's okay to eat from this tree. And you know what? That snake is saying the same thing today. And I want to tell you, I believe herein lies one of the greatest demise of the Christian church, because there is still an eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I want to spend my time sharing with you what that is. And I believe that's one of the reasons that there is... What did God say? He said, If you eat thereof, ye shall what? Die. We're going to die. Something is going to die. Something will die. Something is going to die. You know, God didn't give Adam a choice. To sin or not to sin. I want you to notice this point. He didn't give Adam a choice to sin or not to sin. We heard about sin. Sin is very wicked. We have been inoculated very, very clearly about the awfulness of sin. I mean, we have confessions. We confess quickly and freely and praise the Lord. That's good. I appreciated the message this afternoon. But you know what? God didn't say, Adam, don't sin. You know what He said? Don't eat. Don't eat. I want you to follow this scene and this story this evening, because I believe in my heart that God is showing us something here that is causing the lukewarmness. It's causing the departure of life. In verse 5, the conversation between the snake and Eve concerning this fruit up there. Look at what he said. So he comes, the snake starts speaking, and the woman said unto the serpent said this, Hath God said that you cannot eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said, Well, we may eat of the tree, all except one we cannot eat from. And then he said this, But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Notice, don't even get close to it. Don't even get to the point where you could touch it. Get away from it. Get away from it, because if you do, you shall die. What died when Eve took that bite or whatever, and I don't know, we think of an apple. It might not have been an apple at all. I'm just using that as an illustration tonight. I don't know what it was, but I know one thing, that she said this, that, well, God said, if we do, don't touch it, don't eat, lest you die. And the serpent said, the snake said, Lucifer said, Satan said, ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that continued the process. We become as gods. Satan said, God said, if you eat from this tree, you're going to die. Satan said, if you eat from this tree, you're going to become as gods. And you will actually know good and evil, right and wrong. And my friends, this is where the struggle is today. This is where the struggle is. What is right and what is wrong? The greatest confusion in the church today is it right or is it wrong? Some say it's okay. Others say it's not. It's a great confusion. And thus, we get a lot of our battles are within that very sphere. Is it right? Is it wrong? This brother says it's right. This brother says it's wrong. And we have countless meetings and countless brethren meetings. And we sit together and we have issues on the table. And we're looking at what do we do with these things. My friends, I want to just tell you, my precious fellow servants of the Lord, which tree are we going to find out what is right and what is wrong? Now that's really the message this evening. What tree are we getting our fruit from that we're feeding our people? Feed the flock of God. So we become as gods. Gods tell us right and wrong. And so now we become gods. We become the God because we can say this is wrong, this is right. And so we enter into another road that we travel in leadership where we can now discern, we decide through our intellectual powers what is right, what is wrong. And you know what? If we eat from that tree, something will what? Die. Is anything dying, my friends, among us? Why is it dying when Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell are not going to stand against, not going to prevail against it. They won't make it. Somewhere we're doing something wrong. And I'm here to just, I have been so deeply moved myself with this very message. Maybe I'm just sharing it with my own. Sometimes I get things better when I hear it with my own ears. Maybe that is why I'm preaching this. Maybe not for you. But you know what? I need to be so careful about the tree that I am eating from. Remember, there's two trees. There's another one. We're going to look at that. It's a beautiful tree. It's a beautiful tree. You know, God had a plan. God had a plan to know of how to know right and wrong, good and evil. God had a plan for us. But the snake in the tree had another plan to accomplish the same thing, to know right and wrong. This snake has brought great confusion to the church, for it has another way to know God. It has another way to know good and evil, what is right and what is wrong. Man has lost his connection here with God. But he still went on to determine right and wrong, and so has generations since. There's much, and we want to look at this. And now I stand in my Garden of Eden, and that's why the title is My Garden of Eden. So here we stand. This was Adam and Eve's Garden of Eden. And they were there, and they had the choice not to sin. They had the choice to eat or not to eat. And notice what happened when they ate. Something died. The relationship with Jesus Christ could not be maintained because they ate from this tree. They ate and God said, you shall not eat from this tree. If you do, you'll die. Could it be that people today are eating from the wrong tree and we are trying to do all we can to keep and help them and even ourselves? And yet we're eating from the wrong tree. Could it be that the problem in the 21st century is actually really the problem of the first century? Could it be that maybe that is really the issue? We sometimes make life very, very complicated. And I want to suggest tonight, look at this tonight. I think it's actually very simple. Let's go back and let's check the trees that we're eating from. And let's help our people to eat from the right tree. Because if we eat from the right tree, we're going to live eternally. And if we eat from the wrong tree, there will be certain death. And there will be a cherubim at the gate to keep us from getting into the tree of life. We cannot do that. And so here we are trying to keep. I think you understand. So now I stand in my Garden of Eden, and you and I stand there. We're all there. And there we are, and there are the two trees. And God tells me and you, don't eat from this tree. If you do, your spiritual life is going to die. Your relationship with me is going to be severed. Oh. And then we hear something slithering in the leaves, and here it comes and says, God knows better. Let me tell you about God. He knows that if you do this, then you're going to be able to also know right and wrong, just like God does. Oh, well, you know what? That's actually what we often want. We want to know what is right and what is wrong. Isn't a lot of our choices and decisions that we as leaders make, is it right? Is it wrong? How is this? And so it really appeals to us to get into this tree of knowledge and get our direction from the tree of knowledge. But Jesus is very concerned that when you and I walk past that tree of knowledge of good and evil, that we keep our hands in our pocket and we turn the other way and we head for the tree of life. Because that is a beautiful tree. It's the life of God. As we eat from that tree. Just a couple things about the tree of life. And then I want to look at more about the tree of knowledge. Jesus made a profound statement in John 14:6. You know it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. Oh, the blessing of having a body of Christ, a local body of Christ where we're a part of, and having life flowing there. Beautiful life. I know that many of your churches no doubt have that. We have it in our own hearts. But we must be careful what we eat and what we feed. And if we're careful and we follow God's direction here, it was the very first direction God gave. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge. Don't eat from that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Jesus said, I'm the way. The way is clear. And we are valiant for truth. But where is Jesus, the life? We can acquire the way and truth through knowledge. But when it comes to life, we have to go and eat from the tree of life. We have to connect with God, the God of life, the spiritual life, the power of God. We have to connect with Him in order to get life. The way and the truth we can process through knowledge. But when we really want to get a hold of God, we must then connect with God. That's where life flows then into my life and into the life of our flock, the beautiful flock. Which we want to have life. You know, the night you got saved, I don't know your experience, but I know my experience. The night we got saved, God was close. God was real. It was such a wonderful time when I went to the tree of life and I got a hold of that fruit from that tree. And my life changed. And the fruit of righteousness shall be peace. And it was. And the effect of righteousness was quietness and assurance forever. It changed me. It changed every one of us. It was so beautiful when we reached out and got that. But you know what? I had so little knowledge. I had very little knowledge. In fact, that evening when I went to the down on my knees in front of that tree of life, Jesus, I had to ask my dad, What do I say? What do I do? I don't know what to do. I had so little knowledge. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to pray. But you know what? We found life. We found life. And life comes from God. And the tree of life. And we grew. And as we grew, we got more knowledge and more knowledge. Knowledge increased. And you know, we tended to move and let knowledge guide me. And that's my burden tonight, that we don't shift back to knowledge. Now, I want to say this. I hope you can understand the difference here. We need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know where people are growing today? Not in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but in the knowledge that is out there. In the knowledge, our world is filled with knowledge. And you know, we are reaching out into that same tree and we're eating. And you know, we're getting sick. And you know, it's dying. It's dying. Slowly we shifted away from and we lost life again. And that's what happens to so many people. Their beautiful life and then we shift. Something dies when we go for knowledge, for our direction. How can God accept someone with such little knowledge? You know what? That's what God really wanted. He wanted us to depend on the tree of life for our knowledge. He becomes our knowledge. What does it say in John 17? And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. That's where life comes from. Not from our knowledge and our increased knowledge. And when I say that, I hope you can understand me. In the division of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. We are to know right and wrong, but our right and wrong must always be found in the tree of life. It comes through the tree of life. That's how it comes through us. But today, right and wrong is found through many other ways. There's a lot of knowledge about right and wrong. A lot of knowledge. See, God had a plan for man to know right and wrong, but the snake had another way. And that snake is still speaking. It's okay. You can become God. Well, you can know. You don't have to go to God to know right and wrong. You can decide that yourself. You have intellectual powers. Let me say to you that I believe the tree of knowledge of good and evil is human wisdom. I believe it's we're depending on human wisdom to make our decisions. We must find knowledge of good and evil through the tree of life. See, man becomes his own God when he eats from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's another word for that in our present day is humanism. Where I become God. I become God. But God still commands us to not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil to find. Let me now look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't eat or you'll die. And they did. They lost God and so will any child of God that eats from that tree. Well, how do we then grow? We must have a clear understanding and a division of the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. God wanted to be our God. He wanted to tell us what is right and what is wrong. But you know what? Today there's many, many confusions about what is right and what is wrong. Man is in constant competition with God. Man is trying to say what is right and what is wrong by knowledge. But right and wrong can only be determined through the tree of life for us. You know, an evolution principle is this. To not accept truth, but you determine truth through the intellectual process of knowledge. That is an evolution principle that the evolutionists use. You tell me this, we don't follow that. We determine truth through the intellectual powers that we possess, which are soulish powers, which we possess. And through that, we find out what is true. And consequently, tonight, man comes from what? The monkeys. Man is... There's many other things that the intellectual process that man has used to find truth, right and wrong, good and evil, is now used. And you know what? It is making its impact on the saints of God who have a very clear direction from God Himself. Don't eat from that tree. Oh, it's okay. And then the presence of God died in their lives, and there they went, out the door. And so will every one of us. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I want to take you to Isaiah 26. I want to look at one verse there. Isaiah 26, verse 9. It says, "With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." I want you to notice here something. God has a view. God has an opinion. God has a truth about everything that you will ever have a question about. I believe that there is a spiritual answer for everything you face. We'll find it in the tree of life. But you know, we're tempted to go to the tree of knowledge because for some reason that seems to appeal to us. God has a view. He has an opinion. He has a judgment. He has a truth. And for everything we face in decisions and problems as we lead the flock, let's look for God's judgment about this. So let me ask you this question. How does God feel about a woman marrying a woman? Well, which tree are we going to go? If we go to the tree of life, what is it going to tell us? It's an abomination. It's wrong. It's very wrong. Oh, but the snake says, "Eat from this other, and then you will." If you eat from this other tree of knowledge... Okay, so here is a world, here is America, here are even those that name the name of Christ, sitting together, trying to figure out, well, is it what would hurt if two women love each other and they want to be together? And you know what the world is telling us today? What are they telling us? Accept it. See, if we eat from that tree, we will get a warped concept. That's why things will die in our life. It will die. We won't have the life of God with us. We will be so confused because we're eating from the wrong tree. And God, and I believe today in 2022 here in America, I believe that if we could somehow understand this truth from God's Word, and we could work together as brothers to be careful when we sit together. You know, we have issues in our churches at times. We have issues. We sit together. And you know, what do we employ to discern what is right and wrong? Well, you know what? My experience would tell me this. I'm here to say, while I appreciate gray hair here tonight, I want to say this. It is not safe to follow gray hair. Follow the life, the tree of life. That's where we find the answers. Even though there is some help in that. But let's be careful. There's many white-haired people that are going to, old people that are going to say it's okay for a woman to marry a woman. Because they're in the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They have decided through intellectual reasoning and debating and giving opinions. And you know, finally they conclude this. Now, I want to ask this question. How often have I sat in a brother's meeting or in a minister's meeting, and we have this issue, and we draw from, I need to make this call to see how should we do this? Well, let me just say this. Do any of you know Jesus' phone number? Make sure that you have that in your, that you can call Him. Because that's the tree of life, where we go to find out what is right and what is wrong. And you know, in a sense, I think it's okay for us to just be simple. As simple as what God's Word tells us. Be simple concerning evil. I don't know how to work all that. I don't need to go to the counseling field. You know what? Let's go to the Word of God. I still believe if we could take this Word and apply it to the lives of our hurting people and lives of people that need repentance, and we could bring them to the point of repentance. I mean, Jesus had only one message. John the Baptist had one message as he started his ministry. He didn't say, now, repent, but, oh, yeah, I see. You have really had some hurts in your life. You know what? You need... No, there was one word for the answer. It's from the word of from the tree of life. But the tree of knowledge will have many, many answers. And we are running and running and running. And you know what? We're not finding answers that last and change people. Maybe tonight we can have a better allegiance and a better understanding and a better appreciation for God's Word and the tree of life. And my friends, if we lead our flock to the tree of life and away from this other tree where we sit together, it will do us tremendous, tremendous good. You know the story in Mark chapter 12. Let me just quickly tell you. It was the story here of the man that came and said, which is the first commandment in verse 28 of all? And then Jesus told him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast set the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding. This is what this man was telling him. And with all his soul and strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than the whole, all burned offerings and sacrifices. And then Jesus said this. He answered discreetly. He said, you answered discreetly. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. But you know, his knowledge did not put him into the kingdom. Knowledge does not put us into the kingdom. It got him close. But to get into the kingdom, we need to go to the other tree. And we need to get the life of God. And that's how we get into the kingdom. And that's how we stay in the kingdom. You know, the Pharisees had knowledge, but not from the tree of life. And so, the tree of knowledge today, which is largely, I want to say, at the very core is from our whole system that we live around us. Our society, our culture, it has a big, large tree called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they are trying to find the answer, just like Eve did. And Eve thought she had the answer. She thought it was okay, but then she took her journey away and away and away from God, and so have we all, until we came back to the tree of life again. And I want to say this evening, I think we need to be discerning brothers in our understanding and in our knowledge. So we are going to have knowledge, but does this tree of knowledge of good and evil lead us to eternal life? No. It'll have many confusing things. For the man to marry another man is okay, right? No, not if we're in this book. But what about if Would it be okay to divorce your spouse? We say no. What about leaving an abusive spouse? Oh, now we're... You know what? If we go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we're going to find many, many ideas. And you know, we are influenced by those ideas. And before we know it, we're feeding our flock with those ideas. And then our flock gets, just like God said, ye shall die if you eat from that. And our churches die and our churches are dying. And they're not embracing the life, the tree of life. I know many of you do, but I want to stimulate your thinking tonight. Maybe this is an answer for us. Maybe we have been eating from the wrong tree. And we have been discerning right and wrong on the wrong basis. You know, knowledge will get us close at times, but not in. Eve was deceived through knowledge. And she left. Harold Camping predicted the end of the world on May 22nd, 2011. You remember that? Some of you would. He had it all figured out. But knowledge didn't show him truth. God is truth. In 1 John 2:27, I won't turn there, but how can we then know truth? Well, we get truth, right and wrong, from the tree of life through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit brings what? Life. That's where life comes from, through the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 2:27, I think it is, where it says, I write thee things concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing, that's the Holy Spirit, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. You don't need this other tree. And you need not that any man teach you, but that anointing teaches you and is truth and is no lie. And even as it is taught you, abide in Him. That's where our knowledge, that's where our right and wrong, our direction needs to come from as we feed our flock. And as we lead in our congregations, we are living in the information age. Knowledge is information. Knowledge is power. And did you know that every man that's sitting here likes power? And it's not all holy. It's not holy. And we are drawn to this information. You know, in Daniel 12:4 it says, in the times of the end, knowledge shall increase. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. We get much knowledge, but not knowledge of truth. People will love this tree more than life. There is a certain fulfillment with knowledge. Technology is bringing a tremendous influx of knowledge. We have been bombarded and have not been prepared for what the world has the hurricane that has blown in to our lives, and we don't know how to deal with it. And so often we kind of live with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And let me say this to you. So how do we deal with this influx? You know, our age is characterized as the information age. And you know what? Information is intriguing. And our curiosity, which is largely fallen, it's a part of our fallenness, we're curious. Why do men, and no doubt some of you will know what I'm talking about, why do men get into pornography? Curiosity. But which tree does that come from? It'll bring death to us. It is destroyed. There's men that at one time sat here. I think of a dear brother that got caught in this other tree, and he lost his life with God. He's not here. We'll probably never be here. Although he repented. Bless the Lord. We must be really careful. There is a great divide. And now let me ask you this, and maybe I cannot be appreciated for this. But let me just say a couple things here first. More information today is converted to knowledge than ever before. We have knowledge at our fingertips. The World Wide Web is at our fingertips. And it has become a tree of knowledge. It's an executive of a technology company, a big technology company, said this: Google is like God. God is everywhere. God sees everything. And any questions in the world, ask Google. You know what I'm talking about. Well, let me ask you, which tree is that from? But you know what? You know, Google is the organizing, is organizing the world's knowing. It's the organizer for the world of what the world knows. I read somewhere that there's 100 million pieces of data every second that comes into brains that is in the form of knowledge. But our brains were not made for that. Our brains were made for eternal life. Connecting with God. Finding truth. Finding right and wrong from God. Our direction, our discernment, our decisions. We are being trained to use our intellectual powers to know right and wrong, good and evil. Every ministry in this building tonight, I'm sure, has had to deal with this technology issue. So how did we deal with it? Remember, I want to take you back to Garden of Eden. There's two trees there. The one tree is the tree of life. You may eat from it. But one tree you may not eat from it. And you know what is so easy for us? And I have been caught in the same thing. Where I sit down, and we sit down, and our brethren sit down, and you know, we decide, we kind of feel something from God. But you know what? I don't know how we'll do without this. I don't know how we can survive. I don't know how we can, and so consequently, we are in the whirlwind of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we're trying to find out. Well, this makes a lot of sense. You know what? I think, okay, stop. Make another phone call. Did we do that? And as I look at this influx of the world that is in our pockets, you know what? Does the tree of life have anything to say about that? Did we utilize, did we get fruit from that tree to help us know good and evil, right and wrong? Or did we just have this process of debating and giving our opinions and talking about it, and finally we kind of all agreed this is what we do? But you know what I'm starting to see? Oh, but you know, the spiritual life is waning away with our people. And I'm wondering, God, if this is from You, then why should our people start going down into coldness and lukewarmness, and the fire of the first love is not there, and our young people are struggling to try to survive this tsunami that we've been hit with, and the best we know is people wanted it and people like it and we need it and we have to have it. Shall we then just be a defeated church going down and saying, I guess we'll just see who's left when Jesus comes? I think we need to rise up as leaders. And I'm just trying to encourage your heart tonight. Let's not forget what God said in the Garden of Eden. There's two trees. And in practical life, we need to use that illustration with Adam and Eve. What does this tree say about this? What does the life of God say? I'm eating from the tree of life. And what is He saying? And be honest and listen to the Spirit of God. And lead our people according to the Spirit of God. And help our people desire the tree of life. So that we don't get into the big confusion that our whole world is in. It used to be wrong to have homosexuality, but now it's right. It used to be wrong to have an abortion, but now this tree is saying it's okay. Certain conditions. And you know what? We're going to lose our life with God just like God said in the Garden of Eden. If you eat from this tree, you will die, Adam. And one of Adam's kin is Paul Weaver. And if I eat from it, I will die too. Can God give us discernment? Can God help us here? Brethren, understand my heart. Is there an answer for us in the end times? I think there is, but we have to be careful which tree we eat from. And then God will be with us. There is a remnant that's going to make it. And I trust every one of us in this building tonight will make it. And I'm going to do all I can. I told our people back home some years ago, I'm going to watch for their souls. And if I see that they're going the way to hell, I'm going to stand in your way if you have to crawl over me. I'm going to do all I can to keep you out. But you know what? God is arresting me and saying, but Paul, you need to eat from the right tree. If you eat and there's all kinds of voices on the tree of knowledge of good and evil telling us and having all kinds of good reasons for what they tell us. But you know what? That's not where we find truth. And that's not where we find right and wrong. So may God help us. You know, knowledge is replacing our God. The more man knows, the less they need God. Man used to be simple enough to believe God and have faith in God. But reaching to the fruit of knowledge is replacing God. You may not agree, but let me just say this, that the internet and this big technology explosion, I believe is an end time tsunami, whatever you want to call it. It's an end time, tremendous end time pressure that is really testing the true atoms in their garden. It's testing me as I stand in my Garden of Eden. How will I decide? And it's so much pressure. But I just want to tell us, let's turn to the tree of life. For then we shall live. And this is life eternal, that we might know Him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And our people will survive until Jesus takes us all back. I believe God is with us. The challenge this evening is, how am I leading my flock? And how am I feeding my people, our people, God's people, the beautiful flock? Oh, you know what? I had to repent because I used intellectual powers that pushed me to just an understanding that this makes a lot of sense. We are people that like common sense. And it just makes sense. But you know what? Common sense and making sense may not always be what the tree of life will tell us. May we go back and repent. Let's stand and pray. Oh, Father in heaven, thank You for thinking about the human race. And thank You for giving us direction, Lord. And I confess to You, Lord, I have for years not even looked at these two trees. I knew I wanted You, but I forgot what I need to stay away from. And Lord Jesus, tonight I pray, give us wisdom and give us repentance, Lord, if we have been feeding our flock wrong. Oh God, I pray, help us not to depend on our intellectual human reasoning to find right and wrong, to find good and evil. Help us, Lord, to be willing to accept how You think and what You want, and to lead our people the way that You want us to lead them. Oh God, give to us grace and give to us strength, and bless every brother here, Lord Jesus. And God, if we have gone wrong, I pray that You would bring us repentance tonight so that we can go home and readjust the walk with God for our people so that they don't die and look for the gates of glory and find the flaming sword blocking them, oh God. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry where I have been influential in leading people the wrong way. God, I pray now, give us a resolve, oh Lord, in my heart and our hearts, that we will always stay away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil for our direction of right and wrong, and go to the tree of life. Oh Jesus, thank You for Your word. Bless us now, Lord, and thank You for being our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to just open it up. Maybe this would be... God has just been moving here and just speaking to my heart. Many of these messages have just been so rich to my own soul. And I've been on my knees asking God for forgiveness. And maybe there's someone here tonight, maybe not even related to this message tonight, but you would like to just come and kneel here and just talk to God.